out.
I'm Brenda Dennehy.
I'm Julie Haynes.
And this is Left on Red.
Our guest this week is known online as Ask Josie from the Facebook group Dating Disasters.
But we won't be revealing her identity in order to protect her.
Ask Josie has built an online community of women who share information about men they met online dating.
Over the past 2 years, she's met serial cheaters, ghosters, catfishers and abusers, and she's fed up.
We have so many questions. This one is for all the single ladies out there.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, Josie, thank you so much for being here. As somebody that's very active on dating sites, both myself and Brenda, like, we have hundreds and hundreds of questions for you. So I suppose, like, can you tell us a bit about, like, what you do?
Thanks, girls. It's lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you.
So I started up the Disaster Daters group for a group for women on the dating scene in Ireland for... Well, to help them, obviously, along their dating journey, but to warn them of the dangers that are also on it. Mm.
So it's a similar page for anyone who's familiar with, are we dating the same guy? Cork, London, Dublin, they're all over the world. It's a new phenomenon where people can put up a guy they might be dating and they're like, hi girls, any tea on Richard? Go on a date with him. So you were actually the first person who actually started this with your own Disaster Daters, and then the other, are we dating the same guy, kind of branched off from yours.
That's correct, yeah. Right. They branched off, but they are quite different as well. I like that my group is very much a support group. It's a safe place for women to express how they feel, talk about the experiences that they have had through relationships and the dating world.
And how come you started up yourself? Was it that you had not a great incident?
I had been separated for about 5-6 years and it was COVID time. So I decided to start using the apps and I was shocked at the amount of married men. So it would have begun with the idea of letting women know which men were married. While a lot of married men on dating apps are quite truthful in what they are doing there and that they are married and they are just looking for hookups, there are an awful lot of men that lie, and women were getting involved and getting very hurt. So originally it began as an exposure group, but it grew into so much more and went in different directions.
And what kind of directions?
Well, we decided to have what an English group had had. It's a who's talking to who concept. Right. So putting up the photo to see, is anyone else talking to this man? Is there any, like, bad history? Okay. Had anyone been through anything? So that's how it started to go that in that direction. But then I had women coming in with stories that were just devastating about what they had been through with some men. And not only were they commenting or emailing me on the men that were being put up onto the group, they were letting me know what they had been through with other men. So they were sending me photos of men that were on the apps for women to avoid. So then it evolved that way.
Okay, can you share like a couple of those stories or one in particular that would stand out to you?
There was a man that had a conviction and had been to prison for raping his partner's 7-year-old son.
God. And he was on a dating...
The dating apps. He was out of prison. He had finished his sentence at that stage. But while he was waiting for his trial... Nobody knew what he had done, and he had moved to a different county, and he had met a much younger lady and got into a very volatile relationship with her, and she fell pregnant and she went on to have a baby in the time he was waiting for trial, and she did not know.
Oh my goodness.
And it's all down to dating sites, because she would have met him on a particular dating site.
Yeah, so these men are unvetted.
And how did she find out about the trial? Did she post a picture to your group?
No, he went to trial and went to prison, and then she found out.
Oh my good God.
So I have many, many stories and men on the group that have criminal convictions, child abuse convictions, domestic violence.
And then can I ask as well, while some people might say, oh, I know him, he's convicted there of sexual assault, would you go on and vet and kind of find the proof out of that, you know, maybe go into some of the online newspapers just to see, because I know from looking at the other pages, people are like single-handedly just putting up, oh yeah, he assaulted me, whatever, with no proof.
True.
And then it could ruin a man's career as well.
Absolutely.
Or, the, you know, could ruin the man, yeah, you know, so you'd go to that extra length and kind of get the proof.
Nobody gets posted on my group unless something, firstly, it's serious, not something small, like ghosting on a small level, catfishing a little bit, but the women that get in contact with me, I speak to at length, and it's always voice notes. I find it more personal.
Yeah.
It's not just text messaging. I like to build a relationship with them, and I'm still friends with them now as my real person. And they send me the evidence. They send me the court documents, the articles, then I can find online the newspaper reports.
So once you collect all the evidence, all the court papers, all the everything,
mm-hmm.
do you then take a picture or get the picture of this guy, we call him John, and post on your group and say, ladies, he's on Tinder, he's on Hinge, but this is his conviction?
I don't put up what the conviction is.
Okay.
I usually have a screenshot of the dating app profile, because these men often change their name. It won't be the same name, or they could put the name up in Irish.
Oh, yeah.
So the photograph of the dating app profile, so they can recognize it when they see it.
Mm.
And I put the first name, age, location. And then that photo that and that little bit of information with a string of red flags goes into a folder that I have created, the red flag folder. And all the men with history like that goes in there. And I would repeatedly remind the women to keep an eye on that folder. And so many women have got back to me to say that they have avoided them, or they had been on a first date, or someone had told them, look, this man is in that red flag folder and stay away.
And then have you had anyone who may have gone back, been on the your disaster daters, and then they would have seen a guy in there, but they've gone back to the man going, listen, you're on this page here, disaster, and tell me, what was their consequences? Did the man contact you?
Many times.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had many threats. Men don't like being exposed, especially the most dangerous ones.
What kind of threats? What did they? How do they contact you? And if you can elaborate on that? Or?
Well, because my name is so distinctive, Ask Josie, you're not going to find anyone on Facebook with that name. Mm-hmm. So it would normally be told by screenshots, which is absolutely forbidden on the page, but it's going to happen. We can't trust everybody. We try to keep safety measures in as much as possible by keeping the group small and keeping it for single women. And men have tried to get into the group. They have. They've tried to infiltrate it. But we, so the kind of things they would say, well, first it would be the legal avenue they would go down, and they would threaten me legally. They're going to their solicitor, they're going to the guards. And then it would be, we're going to be able to find you. We know where you live, you know, you're going to be sorry, those kind of things.
Is this all through DMs then?
All through, yeah, on the Ask Josie Messenger, on Facebook.
And when you post pictures of these lads, can you comment on Janita being like, oh my God, I matched with him on Tinder last week, I'm actually messaging him, or is the comments closed off?
Okay, so for the first 18 months, 2 years, comments were closed off, and I had to do that because if there was a possibility that that post was going to be screenshot, so it's always turned off on the dangerous men, because if that post is screenshotted and sent to him, he's going to be able to see that person's name, that woman's name, who has commented on it. And I learned that the hard way when it did happen at the very beginning. So every time I learned something new, it was a safety measure that I could put in place.
Yeah, that would be my worry. If I was on your page and I seen a lad's picture, and if I commented on there, I'd be like, oh my God, I actually matched with him on Hinge or Tinder last week. And then for him to click into my name, find me, and then troll me or come at me in my DMs. So you do have that turned off.
Everything is done through me.
Okay.
Everything that is posted by me.
Okay.
So sometimes anons come in.
Yeah.
We'll say if somebody is looking for information on a man, I don't mind that anon going up. But the only person that ever puts up a post about a man is myself. It's only Ask Josie. And I would put on top, if you have any information or have met this man or have any information, contact me directly. And then I will put that information up.
Okay.
It's to keep the women in the group safe, and that's the number one priority, is keeping them safe.
And you, we say if I was on the group and you posted a picture, and again, if I matched with him previous, or like last week on Hinge or whatever, do I DM you then and be like, Josie, I'm after matching with John, you just posted this picture, and you DM me back, be like, okay, Julie, this is the lowdown on John, and you tell me absolutely everything of his past.
Yes. It would also depend on your profile.
Okay.
Because if I can see an awful lot about you and you're voicemailing me back and I'm comfortable sharing that information, I will. But more often than not, if your Facebook page is very sparse...
If my profile picture was a cat.
Yes. They often don't get in.
Yeah.
I have to be able to see your profile. I go through every profile with a fine tooth comb before they're added into the group.
And is it just you behind the page then?
I've had fantastic admins. Who I've made very good friends with, so we do it together.
Fair play. So there's a group of you?
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's 100%. Absolutely fabulous. It's such a good page to have.
And is there any group where there's men, and men are setting it up and then they're posting women? Are you aware of any group?
I've heard of it, but I mean, that's just a rating system. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a rating system, because you're not going to get hundreds and thousands of women that are dangerous to men and their children on dating online.
And then if you did find out there was one, or I think that if you did come across one, would you say, look, well, fair is fair, you know, we're doing women and men?
Fair is fair. Look, men go through this as well. My group just happens to be a support group for women, because I am a woman and I have been through similar to what all these women have been through. I'm on my own healing journey and I'm very open about that. And I think that's how I have gained so much trust from the women on the group. I speak all the time about how I have been healing. I don't go into detail about what I've been through, but I think they know that we're all very similar. And that's important. It's important to have that connection, because my group wouldn't work without that.
Yes,
it would just be the same as the other Facebook groups.
How many group members would you have?
So now we have almost 2,800.
All women?
All women, all single women. Now, there are women, obviously, that are going to meet partners, and that's fine.
Yeah.
My group is there as a safety net.
Okay.
I know from the Are We Dating the Same Guy in London, I see all, like, even some of my married friends are on it. A lot of them are just for a nose. Mm-hmm. Anyone like that, they have to be someone's there for a reason. You don't just leave anyone on, even though they're female. I think with those pages, they leave any female on. Because as I said, I see one of my friends engaged.
That's why the numbers are so big. Yeah, I think some of them have over 50,000 women on the groups in Ireland. But while I appreciate the information that does come in from some of the married women and from maybe ex-partners or someone that they've heard of, I find for the safety measures, it's better for me not to include the married women, not to add them from now. It's okay if they're in the group. I'm not going to go deleting them. But like you said, Brenda, they're there for a nose. I have more of a chance keeping the group secret with just single women who are going to get the most out of it. I don't want someone going through my group for a bit of gossip. They're the ones that are going to be more likely to screenshot the posts and send them on. I want to be able to trust the women that if their brother is put up, they'll say, well, he did it.
Yeah.
So that's it now. Women are warned. And maybe give him an earful. Have you done this? Now, I know I can't trust everyone 100% with that, but that's what I would be hopeful for.
And then as well, I suppose from your experience with the girls who are on it, a lot of them, I know you said like catfish now and like ghosting and stuff like that, they're not major things, but I suppose with experience, have you any idea like why men do catfish or ghost, of your own opinion, or even hearing stories? Because like, I mean, the amount of men that do ghost, it's such a cowardly act.
Yes, it is, but there are different measures. I think it's because men are cowards. It's different 2 years ago. It's so easy just to delete, just to ghost. They don't have the courage to say, look, I don't want to see you again.
Yeah.
They're just not able to. But ghosting, it's on so many levels. Like, I would never post a man that a girl had gone on a date with once or twice and then he disappeared, because they weren't right for each other. Yes, he was a coward, but he doesn't deserve to be posted all over social media for that. But I have women that were in long-term relationships, months, years, living with the man, met families, met children, and disappeared one day. just upped, left and blocked on everything. That's a serious type of ghosting, and it's really hurtful. It's traumatic.
And with that kind of ghosting, did you ever get to the bottom of it? Like, was he a married man, or why did he ghost after so many months?
I matched with a guy last year and I posted him. I don't date much at all. I've had a few coffee dates in the last couple of years. It's very hard to trust what I've been learning. Yeah. But I did match with this guy and I put him up, and a lady messaged me. And she told me her ghosting story with this man, that he had left a previous partner and they had met and he had moved in with her very quickly, but a very serious relationship over 18 months. And obviously met her children, met her family. They had planned a holiday. And one day she came home and he was gone. So I spoke to her at length, and then I messaged the guy and I said, I showed my friend your photo, just to be on the safe side, as us women do. And she was telling me that you left without word to your ex-girlfriend. And he came back with a lot of lies. She was an alcoholic. She was abusive. And he had no choice. But he did say he had sent her a message, but he never had.
She caught him out there.
She catfished him herself, actually. She matched with him. When she found out he was back on the dating apps very quickly after he left her,
yeah,
she set up a date in the same restaurant that he had suggested that I go to.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And she walked in with her friend, thinking she might get a few answers.
Yeah.
And he jumped up with his bunch of flowers and ran out of the restaurant and across the street, away from her.
And this is in Ireland?
Yes, Newbridge.
Oh my lord.
God!
Had she put up like different pictures of someone from online, as in...
She pretended to be someone else. She catfished
him. Oh, well, she
catfished... She catfished the ghoster.
And do you know... What a great story. Yeah. Do you know if she... Because the odd time myself, I might go on Bumble or something when I come home. I'm like, this certain person, will I try and find him within a radius? Did she do it something within a radius? Did she go out of her way to catch him? Like, as in, did she set up the profile, go on Bumble?
She would have had to, yes. Because,
and then she probably, within a certain radius, probably found him that way.
She found him.
Wow.
Walked into the restaurant. He looked
with
up.
With a friend. He looked up with his flowers.
I would have loved to be the fly in the wall there. That's a podcast in itself.
Yeah.
And ran away. He ran away. That's the cowardness of ghosting.
Yeah.
But it's hurtful.
It is.
And it shouldn't be done.
It's terrible. Yeah.
And especially he met the kids and there was a holiday being planned and he moved in with her and then all of a sudden just got up, packed his bag and walked out.
And then as well, Josie, when it comes to romance fraud, like, that's a big, massive thing now. I know there was a big case with someone in Cork, over €250,000 she sent him, and like, it's huge. Would there have been many people with romance fraud as well? Can you tell us some of those stories?
Well, I think that all starts with love bombing. Relationships get very serious very quickly with love bombing. And men that do that, they just seem to have a knack of extortion when it comes to money. And that could be gifts. That fantastic lady, that brave lady that from our group that shared on the documentary, she spoke of the money that she spent on that man, and it was thousands. She was buying gifts for his family, for his children, for his grandchildren. And of course,
so what was he saying to her again? He was saying, I need you. He had a clue about women and how to shop for women and stuff. So he asked her to pick up presents. And this woman was walking into Brown Thomas picking up like moisturising creams worth €100, makeup worth 100, €200, giving it to him, thinking he was giving it to his mother or his sister. But
from them.
From them, yeah.
Don't forget, she thought she was very much involved with him.
Yeah.
She was crazy about this man.
Yeah.
She hadn't met him though, did she?
Yes.
Or she had met
him. They were in a relationship.
Oh, yes, sorry. There was someone else who hadn't met them and she was sending the money.
Yes, the reason she got in touch with me was because they only ever really stayed indoors. She was starting to get a bit suspicious, even though they had been going out together quite a few months. She wanted me to investigate to find out if he was involved with someone else. And he was. He was engaged. It turned out he was engaged. But I've had many women come forward. Like, I have at least 5 women that have the same story. He's still doing that to this day.
And like, what I just couldn't get over was, so he was saying to this girl that you've been in touch with, I need you to buy presents for my mom, for my sister, and like that. She was going into Brown Thomas, buy the moisturising cream, the handbags, the makeup. Yet he was giving those presents then
from
himself to his girlfriend at home.
Yes, was, and the children. And the children. And his mother. But she was also lavishing him with gifts also.
How much roughly did she spend on him?
I can't remember exactly, but I know it was thousands.
And did he ever buy her anything back?
Not much, no.
I wouldn't even bring her out for dinner or anything like that.
No, see, that was the issue. The no going out.
So he, anytime he wanted to meet up with her, it was always inside her house watching a movie or whatever.
Always excuses.
Always excuses. How long was this was going on for a couple of months, wasn't it?
A good few months,
So she got in contact with you then and said, will you do a bit of investigating her?
Yes.
And it turned out he was engaged, living with the fiancé.
I did get in touch with the fiancé.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. He's there.
And then as well, you know, the way some people know, some people, like, probably maybe I'm not trying to be ageist or anything, but the older generation, I suppose, who aren't on the apps and stuff like that, you know, they don't understand the love bombing concept and all that as well. You know, they'd say, for God's sake, isn't she stupid? You know, like, and they're not, but I suppose that's it, that, you know, people with the romance fraud, and, you know, some, there was someone on it as well, they were sending someone money and they'd never met them.
I understand, but it's old stock mentality.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for them to understand. You know, things have changed, and I understand why they have the mindset that they do. They can't get their head around the way the world works now with dating. But unfortunately, it is the reality.
Mm.
For not just women in their teens, 20s, 30s, 40s. I mean, there are women in their 50s, 60s now on dating apps. There are marriages breaking down all the time, more so than ever before. And obviously there are men and women that are widowed.
Yeah.
And, you know, they decide to go on those apps maybe because of loneliness.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And they're putting trust in that. But you can't trust dating apps.
You can't, no. And did you ever have a story where a girl might have went out on a date, a first date with a lad, and something had happened and she contacted you then?
Yes, there was one girl that had gone on a date, and I think he had manipulated her to walk to a car down an alley, and he attacked her.
Attacked her?
He attacked her, yeah. He attacked her in the alleyway.
So before they even met, he was probably texting her saying, walk down this alley and meet me in my car.
I think they had just met and they were supposed to go for dinner, and he made an excuse to go back to the car.
Yeah.
And he attacked her in a lane. So all the time, see, I'm always learning from the stories that I hear and from the women that I speak to. So I'm continuously updating and giving more advice. So we did a good few posts then about dating safety.
Mm.
You know, the whole group is dating safety and support.
Yeah.
So always meet in a public place. Always. Don't text for too long. Don't let yourself be open for catfishing.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about protection.
Yeah. I suppose that's a huge thing. Meet in a public place. Tell a friend where you're going.
Yes.
It's frightening because, as I said, like, I'm on dating apps. Brenda's on dating apps. I was catfished. And you know, the thing about it is with dating apps, you'd actually nearly fall in love with them if you're texting for a couple of days. Like, I honestly could sit here and hold my hand up. I think I actually nearly fell in love with some lads before I even met them, because you'd have such a lovely connection, wouldn't you? And you do trust them then.
Absolutely.
And, I don't
especially
know.
The guy who you found out on RIP, because he said he had the twins.
Oh, yeah.
And his dad was also
dead.
Passed away.
My dad, my dad had just passed away, and how he manipulated
like that
me.
That was terrible when you look back.
Yeah.
Like, if some fella did that to me, because my dad recently passed away, but if, like, I can only imagine the hurt now, because I didn't know how much that would have hurt you.
And he was comforting me, and I was comforting him back about, because both our dads had passed away, and I was like, Jesus, this is
that's
a lovely
bad.
Connection. And then obviously, because I have twins, I was telling him I had twins, and all of a sudden he had a niece and nephew who were twins as well. I was like, Jesus, this is a match made in heaven.
Yeah. Catfish. But that's what they do though.
Yeah.
That's how they love bomb.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
So he had me, like, I was up the aisle with this guy because we had so much in common. Yes, he was probably a man at home, or could be a woman, who knows? But catfished. I was catfished, and as I said, I was nearly in love with him.
And also with the ghost in there, I asked, why do people ghost? Why do people catfish, do you think, Josie? Is it a confidence thing? Is it a game? Is it what? Dopamine hit?
I do think it's a dopamine hit. I think they do get enjoyment out of it. Loneliness. I think
regardless, there's a lot of loneliness when going on. When,
I think,
you know,
it's loneliness. I think maybe that person doesn't have the confidence to go on dates.
Yeah.
Low self-esteem. But then you've got the other side where it's for money purposes.
Yes.
You see that all over the world. I've seen that on Dr. Phil so many times.
Yes.
Women are nearly sending their life savings and they've never met this person.
And why are the women doing that then? Is it because it's just for they want someone to love them?
Loneliness.
Loneliness.
Of a certain age.
Right.
Easy. Manipulated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as well, I suppose the other side of the catfish is obviously they're pretending to be someone else, but then there might be like someone who might be using someone else's picture and then someone else might turn up. I mean, they're a different person. What do they think the person is going to be like? You don't even look like your profile picture. That concept then,
that happens a lot.
What do you think the explanation for that is?
I think they hope that once they get there and they get the opportunity to meet that person that they like them.
But plus, like, people using other people's profile pictures. Like, I know I'm on Tinder, I'm on Hinge and all that, but there's also other Tinder accounts use my picture.
Like, yes, that does happen.
What can I do? Like, I can't do nothing. Like,
you can report it. See, now this comes to the safety measures of dating apps, and I have major issues with the way the dating apps are run. They need to be vetted.
Yeah,
they do.
Something needs to be done.
Yeah.
Legislation has to be changed for them.
Yeah.
There's no law here. There's a Clare's law in the UK, all right, but there's nothing here.
Yeah, that's definitely something I wanted to address.
Do you want to explain to listeners about Clare's law? Do you know much on that?
Yes. Yeah, so Clare's law is officially known as the Domestic Violence Disclosure Scheme, where police officers, they disclose a person's history of abusive behaviour to those who need it, to those who may be at risk. It's named after a lady, Claire Wood, who was murdered by her former partner, who police knew to be dangerous. She had a barren order at one stage. She had been through a domestic abusive relationship with him. So there's two elements to this law. It gives the people the right to ask and the people the right to know. So since 2014, it's been in England, Wales and Scotland, and it's also in Australia, Canada and Northern Ireland. In Ireland, since 1996, 236 women have died violently in the Republic of Ireland. 55% of those women were killed by their partner or ex-partner.
So can you explain just about Clare, like, how does it work?
So there's a designated team within the police force that you apply for information. It's as easy as that. And it doesn't have to be you. It can be a family member, a child. Oh. It can be a grandparent. And it could be for if you're getting into a relationship with a man or already in a relationship with a man. So,
you have to go to the police station and say
you can do it online, or you can ring them. It's as easy as that. And within a couple of weeks, you'll get any information back if that man has a record of domestic abuse. Charlie Flanagan, who was our Minister for Justice, was asked in 2020 about Ireland having similar legislation, and his words were he did not consider it necessary for Ireland to have a Clare's law, but yet 236 women are dead. We do need this law. It is the same for Sarah's law. Sarah's law is also the child sex offender disclosure scheme. It lets those who care for the young people find out if a person has a record for child sexual offences. It was named after the little 8-year-old Sarah Payne.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
She was murdered in 2000 by a convicted sex offender in England, and that is in England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Without these laws, how are we supposed to protect ourselves and our children?
I know. Absolutely.
I have many women on my group that have been through relationships, who have had their children abused, who have been raped and abused themselves, and these men are on dating apps. A small percentage of these men are convicted. The amount of women that report sexual offences in Ireland and don't get heard and don't get their day in court.
When you know all that information, know yourself, Josie, what about you getting into a relationship? Does it kind of stop you? Do you see yourself getting into a relationship in the future?
I have small children. And I find it, would find it very hard to trust. And more so from what I'm learning. My group is an amazing group. And I'll keep going, warning women. But at the same time, it has left me very, very weary.
Yeah.
Because it's so frightening. It's just what goes on behind closed doors and what we could potentially bring in to our lives.
Yeah.
But more so when you've got young kids. Because don't forget, these men, they target single mothers. Men that have an ulterior motive. They target single mothers, they gain their trust just to get in, break into that home and be respected. And they can't be trusted.
I honestly applaud you. I don't know how you do what you do, Josie. It's amazing. Yeah. First of all, you and the team that's behind the group, I just think...
You saved hundreds of women. Hundreds. I hope you realise that you've probably saved hundreds of women.
And what's the future now of the group? Will you keep it going for as long as you can?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. There have been many times where I nearly stopped.
I could imagine, yeah.
Through threats and stuff?
The threats from the men, the not being able to trust the group and how I felt myself.
Mm.
But we're talking to other women time and time again. I have decided that it's too important to let it go.
Mm.
And I'd love to move forward with speaking to someone about changing the legislation in Ireland. Sarah and Claire's Law is a massive priority, I think. But I'd also like the group to grow. We kept it really small for a long time. But in the last months, I have decided to expand it. Because my posts are not reaching enough women.
Yeah.
I have nearly 3,000 women, but that's only a small amount of single women in Ireland. And Facebook, the way you can post on Facebook, you can never guarantee it's going to reach even every member in the group. I share posts and sometimes it's only a 200 reach.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do to manipulate that. So the more I can speak about it out loud, the more women I can get into the group, the better. So Claire Clarkson has shared. She has been amazing. So she's on TikTok and she has been sharing some of the cases, the more dangerous ones. The Dayton Orange has also shared it on her TikTok and Instagram account. So that's what we're hoping to do, is just keep more women safe.
Well, if possible, we'd love to catch up with you again in a couple of months.
Yes.
You know, just
and
to see
the Facebook page just once more is
Disaster Daters.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Josie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josie.